Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
All right, we are in a message series called Twisted, where we're looking at the most commonly misused verses of the Bible. And this morning, we're looking at Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11, and this verse has a lot of meaning to me, because before we came to Wyoming to pastor at Casper Faith, we were pastoring in Iowa, and we had been there for 14 years. We were only 50 miles from my parents and my wife's parents. And I tell you, if you're in ministry, if you've ever been in ministry, being that close to family is kind of a rarity. Maybe you're close to one family, but not the other. But we were blessed to be within an hour's drive of both of our families. So we got together, you know, for birthdays, for holidays. Our kids got to know their cousins, got to spend a lot of time with their grandparents. They came up for Mother's Day and for Father's Day. We got to spend a lot of other time together with our family. And so when God led us to come to Wyoming, 11 hours away, that was a big deal to us. And it wasn't just that. It was that my wife, in the community we lived in, they had a very a really great homeschooling network, and she was the president of that network. She had a fantastic leadership team. They were some of her closest friends, and I was in leadership in the state, in the Assemblies of God, besides pastoring the church. We were really well connected in the community. We loved the community. And out here in Wyoming, we knew absolutely no one. Nada, zip, zero. We didn't know a soul. And probably the biggest thing of all is that where we had been for 14 years, our oldest daughter was a year and a half when we moved there, and her other three kids had been born there. So it was the only place they had ever known. It was home. All of their friends there. And when they found out we were moving to Wyoming, they were devastated. I mean, really devastated. I still remember the Sunday when we candidated, and Sunday night they had a question and answer series, and the congregation voted on us, and you know, they announced that we were the pastors, and I was up here, and I'm looking over on the side, and my kids are just either looking in disbelief or bawling. And everyone else in the congregation is excited, yay, we got a pastor. And yet my kids' hearts were breaking. And we go back to Iowa. We tell our congregation we're leaving. It was a beautiful celebration, a lot of, you know, laughter as they gave us a send-off, reminding some of the funny things that I do, and a lot of tears. And there was some of our best friends in the church gave us a plaque, a wall hanging, and it was Jeremiah 29:11. And if you could show the slide. Now we'll show this. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And if you want to show the next picture, there you can see it. It's above the mantle of our fireplace in our home in Casper. When we moved to Casper, that's us about 6 years ago. Man, have we changed, huh? Wow. Anyway, and so you can see it. It's circled in yellow up there, and there's the Bible verse underneath it, Jeremiah 29:11, and we put it up there, and I remember there's so many times when I was sitting in my lazy boy and I'm having my devotions, I'd look up at that and I would quote that verse. I would pray that verse. There was times that, especially when I was going through a difficult time, whenever it was rough, I'd look at that verse and think of that verse. This verse has a very special place to me. It was a very big encouragement. And maybe some of you have a story, something like that. Maybe you have it on a coffee mug, and you love that coffee mug, and you drink coffee out of that mug each and every day, and you look at that verse. Maybe some of you, it's on a refrigerator magnet, or maybe it's on a t-shirt. And you know, I wouldn't doubt it if maybe one of you has a pillow that your grandma cross-stitched with that very verse on it. You know, because hey, there's no better verse in the world for grandmas to cross-stitch on a pillow. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. It's such an amazing and powerful and soothing and comforting verse, filled with so much hope. And what I want to do today is I want to show you there's actually a whole lot more to this verse than what you realize. And it doesn't necessarily mean what it says when you look at the context of it. And as we take it, as we kind of look at it, reframe it, and take a look at it at a different angle, my hope and prayer is that you'll love this passage of Scripture even more after we're done than you do right now. What we're going to do is, first of all, if you've been with us the past 3 weeks, we've talked about how do we get a better understanding of Scripture? How do we find the real meaning of Scripture? And the first thing that we have to do is understand the context, okay? We have to understand the context. Who wrote it? Who was it written to? What comes before it? What comes after it? What's the main message the person is trying to say? You just don't want to take something out of context and make it mean something it doesn't mean. The second thing we've looked at is we want to interpret Scripture with Scripture. It's easy just to look at one verse and say, that's what it means. But if you look at other places in the Bible, it appears to be a contradiction. So you have to look at the entirety of the Bible and to see what does that verse mean? What's the whole Bible talking about when it talks about that theme or that topic? And then the last thing we talked about is that we want to apply what we've learned. You see, the Bible's not a textbook that you study for some kind of a test. The Bible is God's living word that transforms us. It transforms us. And because of that, we need to apply it and live it in everyday life. So as we keep those things in mind, let's first take a look at the context of Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, God has plans to prosper you. How many of you think that sounds good? How many want to prosper? Yeah, I want to prosper, okay? That sounds good. But let's take a look at verse 1. Let's see if you can pick up the context, okay? Jeremiah 29:1, this is the text of the letter, I'm reading from the NIV, that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem. Okay, question number 1, who wrote the letter? Jeremiah, where is he at? Jerusalem, okay? Second question, who's it written to? Look at this. To the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests and prophets and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem. Who's it written to? Captives, okay? Exiles. And where are they? Babylon. They're hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem, from their homeland. What's going on here, okay? Jeremiah is writing to a bunch of people, a bunch of Jews who are in Babylon, and the reason they're in Babylon is because for years, Israel blatantly rebelled against God. They sinned against God. They worshiped idols. They sacrificed the statues. They worshiped other gods. And because of that, and because they wouldn't turn from their sin, God said, okay, I'm going to take you, your leaders, your priests, your elders, your young men, the cream of the crop, and I am taking you from your homeland, and I'm going to put you in Babylon, and you're going to be there 70 years. That's a long time. And so Jeremiah, it says he wrote this to the surviving elders. Not all the elders made it. Some were killed when Nebuchadnezzar came in, apparently. He says to the surviving elders, now I want you to think about this. You're going to be there 70 years. That means if you're, 20, 30 years old and on up, what's the likelihood of seeing you get back to Jerusalem again? Very slim. I mean, and even if you make to 90 or 100, are you going to track thousands of miles back? You're probably not going to be in the health to do that. And so right now, okay, you're here for 70 years. They don't have a lot of hope. And God is saying to them, hey, I want you to know that even though you're in another pagan land, a foreign culture, a foreign language, everything's different, God has not forgotten you. God has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. He's giving you a future and a hope. And he goes on later in chapter 29 and he says, so as you're here, I want you to put down roots. I want you to build homes, plant vineyards. I want you to get married. I want you to give your kids in marriage. Because over this 70 years, you see, God's going to take you back and you shouldn't diminish. If you don't build a life, if you don't prosper here, there's nothing to go back to. So I want you to prosper here. God is going to bless you and help you here. And the reason God had to tell them to get involved and really make roots there is because there were false prophets saying, nah, it's not going to happen. You're just there for a short time. In fact, Jeremiah 28, write that down, okay? That's, remember we said in context, you have to look at what comes before and what comes after. What comes before Jeremiah 29? 28, yeah, it's not, you see, you guys are getting this. You're learning this context thing. You read Jeremiah 28, and there's a false prophet named Hananiah. And Hananiah comes, and he's in Jerusalem, and he's prophesying, saying, hey, it's only going to be 2 years, and you're coming back. And there's a little bit of a showdown. Jeremiah says, you know what? That's great. That's great you're coming back. And God spoke to Jeremiah and says, he's wrong. It's going to be 70 years. And so Jeremiah confronts him, and he says, Hananiah, you're wrong. And because you are giving false good news to the people, because you're misleading them, you're encouraging them to rebel against God, you're going to die. And 2 months later, Hananiah died. 2 months' time. I mean, hey, guys, this is better than a Netflix miniseries, okay? You want to read your Bible. I encourage you to read your Bible. Read that story, what happened there. And this is what's taking place. And so Jeremiah is saying, hey, don't listen to these false prophets of 2 years or 2 months or whatever. It's going to be 70. And God hasn't forgotten about you. He is going to prosper you. See, that's why families all around the world name their kids Jeremiah, because he followed God, and no one names their kids Hananiah. Does anyone know anyone named Hananiah? I didn't see any taker. I don't see anyone knowing Hananiah. Why? Because he was a false prophet. He disobeyed God. Jeremiah spoke the truth. And here's something we have to realize. We have to be very, very careful about taking specific promises that God gave to a person or gave to a group of people and saying, that is for me. Because it may not necessarily be for you. Well, in your message notes there, it's on the back of the bulletin. What we're done with life groups, that's on the back. But there are specific promises that are to specific groups of people or individuals. Then there's general promises that are to all humankind. And Jeremiah 29:11 is not a general promise to every person. It's a specific promise. And some of you right now, you're saying, great, I got to throw out my coffee mug. I got to get rid of grandma's pillow. You know, cut that out, you know. Pastor Craig, you got to get rid of that wall hanging. Hey, I still have the wall hanging there, okay? It's not as bad as you think, all right? Here, you say, well, Craig, what's wrong with this? Because here's the thing. When it says God's plans to prosper, he's saying, I'm going to prosper a specific nation. I'm going to prosper you as the Jews. And this is what happens sometimes. There is a danger when you and I claim a specific promise that was to a specific group of people and it's not to us. Like for this one here, God is going to prosper you and not harm you. There's no harm coming. And then something happens in your life and you're not prospered the way you think you should be. You're not blessed the way you think you should be. You experience some kind of trial, and it hurts you. It hurts your finances. It hurts someone you love. And you go through this time, and you say, wait a second. God is not prospering me. He's harming me. So that means one of two things. Either God doesn't exist, or that God is not good. And I know a lot of people, they look at verses in the Bible, the verses like these, and they say, well, man, what's going on? How come God's not prospering me? You know, a lot of times when you watch Christian television preachers, and I try not to talk about individuals or preaching styles and that kind of thing, but friends, this is a concern that we have to realize in the body of Christ, and it happens a lot of times at the beginning of the year. This is your year of victory. This is your year of breakthrough. This is your year that, you know, God's going to bless you and prosper you and make all your dreams come true. And then it doesn't happen. And then people say, well, what's wrong with me? Am I not good enough? God's not good. He's a liar. He's mean. He's cruel. And we have to be very careful and realize that this promise, Jeremiah 29:11, is not to us. it was to them. Because here's the thing. This promise, you can't preach it everywhere in the world. Can you go to the mother who had a child kidnapped? She was from Syria. She had a child kidnapped, and now she's living in a refugee camp, and say, God's going to prosper you and not harm you? Can you say that to the Christian couple in Africa that lost a little child from malaria because they didn't have the money to buy an inexpensive mosquito net? You see, here's the thing. Jeremiah 29:11 needs to be able to preach in the inner city the same way it does in the wealthy suburbs, the same as it does in the country where the average wage is $2 to $3 a day. And if you can't preach it with integrity everywhere, you really can't preach it anywhere. And so you have to look at Jeremiah 29:11 and say, how can I preach it with integrity everywhere so that it's not misleading people and giving them false good news, false hope? There's another problem with appropriating Jeremiah 29:11 specifically, as that it doesn't jive with Scripture. It doesn't jive with Scripture, okay? Take a look. This is what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yes, and all, say all, who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will, say will, suffer persecution. Okay, how many of you say, I want to put that on my coffee mug, huh? I mean, I go around, wake up in the morning, yes, all who live godly will suffer. Yes, I'm so ready to suffer for Jesus today. Take a look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Paul wrote this to the Philippian church. It has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him. Aren't you glad you believe in Him? Aren't you glad that He led you, His loving kindness drew you to Him? And not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Wear that one on a t-shirt. Put that on your refrigerator magnet and look at it every morning and say, yes, I get to suffer for Jesus today. That's my life verse. You know, it's really quiet in here this morning. I'm being sarcastic, okay? But here's the thing. To say God always has plans to prosper and never to harm you doesn't jive with the Scriptures that say we are going to suffer if we're a believer for Jesus Christ. And so when people go through trials, when people go through suffering, when believers do, and it's not what they were told, it's not what they heard, it's not what they read, they feel God's a liar or God does not exist. You want to know the real good news? It's there in your notes for you. Here's the real good news. The real good news is that God saves us from our sins, not necessarily our trials. Oh, wow. You know what? You guys don't understand the goodness of that. Because if you did, you would have been up standing and cheering. Because, you see, our sin, if it's not taken care of, we spend eternity in hell. We're burned. We're tormented. We never get out. We're isolated from God. But Jesus has saved us from our sins. Not necessarily our trials, but our sins, they are taken away. You see, this is what has happened, is that God loves us so much. We fall short. We can't make it to heaven on our own. When I played basketball for a few years. I never really should have played basketball. I'm not a good basketball player, okay? I got in at the end of the game, either when we were up by 20 or down by 20, okay? And there was one time I was in seventh grade. I got in the game. I was fouled, so I went to the free throw line. And I'm there at the free throw line. And this never happened to me before, but I shoot the free throw, and it misses. I mean, it doesn't just miss the rim. It misses the backboard. It misses everything. I mean, it was an air ball. I mean, it hit nothing. It fell short. Completely missed the mark. And friends, that's our lives. Our lives completely fall short. Because here's the thing, God's standard of holiness and righteousness is perfection. It's no sin. It's 100%. And we miss that mark of perfection. We don't even come close to hitting it. We are sinners. If you have lied, if you've stolen, if you've been deceitful, if you disobeyed your parents, if you have swore, if you've cursed, if you've worked on Sundays, if you have lusted, if you have been jealous, been greedy, been unforgiving. And how many have done those things more than once? How many have done them several times? I mean, be honest. We are sinners. We fall short. And because we fall short, we cannot get to heaven. But here's what happened. Jesus reached out to those that were rejected. He reached out to the unlovable. And Jesus became one of us. The Son of God became human. And he went through life. He lived a perfect life. And then he gave himself on the cross. Our sin deserves death. The wages of sin is death. But Jesus gave his life for us. And because of that, we can be saved from our sin. Look at your neighbor and say, you're saved from your sin. You're not going to hell. You're alive with God. I mean, guys, do you want to go to hell? We, of all people, should be joyful because of what God has done for us. That's the good news, okay? That's the great news. Now, I want us to look now at Jeremiah 29:11 in a little bit different light. Let's use Scripture. We've talked about the context. Let's look at what the whole Bible says in relation to some of the things that Jeremiah 29:11 says, okay? In your notes this morning, the very first thing is that God has plans for us. He does have plans for us. What are those plans? They are to conform us to Christ. Okay? It's not necessarily to bless you with everything that you want. But if you're a believer, God wants you to be like His Son, Jesus. And He is working in your life and my life to strip away the things that distort that image. Think of a sculpture, okay? A sculptor who's trying to carve an image here of Abraham Lincoln, and what is he doing? He's chiseling away all the stuff that would hide the image of Abraham Lincoln. And friends, God is a master sculptor. He is trying to chip and chisel away the things in our life, the pettiness, the selfishness, the unforgiveness, the greed, the anger, the lust, the impure motives, whatever it might be. God is trying to chisel them away because He wants to conform us to the image of Jesus. Paul taught the Romans that in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. He says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Notice it doesn't say all things are good. How many know that bad things happen to good people? Okay? It doesn't say all things are good, but all things work for good to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. God wants me, God wants you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, to become like Jesus. Paul taught that also to the Corinthian church in chapter 3, verse 18 of his second letter to them. He says, but we all are being transformed into the same image of Jesus from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Because here's the thing, when you and I become more like Jesus, then people are going to be influenced for Jesus in a greater way. They're going to see us and say, wow, I love what they've got. They've got peace, they've got patience, they've got compassion, they have joy, you know, they have a strong marriage, they have a strong family. Okay, we're not perfect, but they see us and they say, there's something about them that I don't have in my life. That's why God wants to conform us to the image of His Son so that we can be a light to the dark world. And so that's the first reason. That's the first promise that's related to Jeremiah 29:11. The second one is that God is good and He does bless us, but it is in accordance with His plan. Okay? God does bless us. James wrote in chapter 1 of the book he wrote to Christians, James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from where? Above. It's from God and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. What are the good things in your life this morning? How about your spouse? How about, that's from God. How about your house? That's from God. How about your appliances? How many like your dishwasher and your microwave and your stove, running water, a water heater? How many like those things? Air conditioning, furnace? Friends, that's a gift from God. You know, everything you have, your kids are a gift from God. My dog is a gift from God. I got to think about that one there. No, everything you have is a gift from God. Your ability to see, to hear, to talk, to taste, to touch, that's a gift from God. Your job, your ability to earn, your ability to think, your ability to earn wealth, that's a gift from God. Every good thing you have in life is from God. God does prosper us, but prosperity is not just financial. It can be emotional. It can be relationships, having closeness, not having strife. Sometimes it's health. Prosperity is a number of things, and God is a good God. He's not mean. He's not bad, and he's not a liar. It says in that verse that we just saw what James said, there's no shadow of turning. There's no variation. It's not like God says one thing and does another. It's not like he's setting you up to pull the rug out from underneath you. You can trust him. He is a good God. But here's the thing. The Lord doesn't just bless us in any which way. He doesn't bless me exactly the way I think he should. He blesses me, he blesses you according to his plan. And his plan isn't always our plan. His plan is higher, his plan is bigger, his plan sees farther, his plan is greater. We're told, Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, chapter 1, verse 11, God works everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. See, God has a plan he's trying to accomplish, and he's trying to sculpt, he's trying to chisel, he's trying to chip away the things that would distort the image of Jesus, because as I become like Jesus, as Larry becomes like Jesus, as Dale, as Wendell, as Kathleen, as Lynette, as all of us become like Jesus, and we're out with our neighbors, we're out with our friends, we're out with our fellow classmates, we're out with our coworkers, and they begin to see Jesus in us, now that plan and that purpose is accomplished. You see, friends, God is not a cosmic Coke machine where I put my money in and I do the thing and boom, he serves me and gives me exactly what I want. God has a plan and he works things according to his plan. And some of you here today need to let your disappointment with God go. There's something that happened. God did something or didn't do something and you've been blaming him. You feel he hasn't prospered you. You feel he's harmed you. And you need to let it go. And you need to say, God, I'm sorry for being bitter. God, I'm going to trust you that you are good, that you have a plan. And help me to be like Jesus. Chisel away whatever needs to be chiseled away so I can be like your son. There's a third thing we see in Jeremiah 29:11. And that is that God is always near and engages those who go after him. We've looked at 29:11, but I want you to look at verse 12 and 13, okay, of Jeremiah 29. These verses, these could be on your coffee mug, okay? How many of you have Jeremiah 29:11 on a fridge magnet, you know, on a coffee mug, on a wall hanging, on something in your house? Raise your hand high. Raise it high. Look around you. There's quite a few that have this verse, 29:11, okay? Yeah, I'm in there with you. Look at verse 12 and 13. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. These verses, they are echoed other places in Scripture. The writer of Proverbs, he echoed him in chapter 15, verse 29, when it says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." They're included in 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 9. It says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." You realize that God is looking, he is searching for people that are searching for him. And if you search for God, then he will be found by you. That's what Jeremiah was echoing. We see it in Hebrews 13, 5, the last part of the verse. It says, "He himself has said, I will never, not maybe, I will never leave you nor forsake you." You see, God says, no matter what's going on, I am there, I am going through it with you. It's not that God always gives you exactly what you want. It's that God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you because he's more concerned with your eternity than he is with your right now. He's more concerned with who you are becoming than what you get from him in life. And we have to realize that God is absolutely good through and through, and it's through faith that rests not upon what happens to us, but upon a God who loves us, who gave his Son to save us from our sin, and who promised to never leave or forsake us. And he says, if you seek me, you will find me if you search for me with all your heart. Go after God with all your heart. That's the real message today. That's the real message of Jeremiah 29, is that God is always there. He does have a plan. Hey, bad things will happen from time to time. But when you pray, when you call out to God, he hears you, he's there, and he never lets you go. I remember as a kid, there was an old song we sang. I guess Brad Paisley sings it now. But it's "Farther Along, We'll Know All About It. Farther Along, We'll Understand Why." So cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.